Today I'd like to talk with you about God's call to us Christians to stand tall for His truth and proclaim Christ to a lost and hostile world, even to the end of time, even in the face of great opposition. Do you do that? How about the apostles of old? Did they stand strong and tall in their days, in their time, in the face of great adversaries? How about the Christians throughout the centuries? And will we? I'd like to look with you at this especially today, considering what our world and our country is experiencing this month, namely Pride Month and the trans agenda that you all hear about all the time in the news. And what is God's call to us in these days to stand up strong and proclaim Jesus Christ yet to the world for their salvation? Let's take a look at that today and what encouraging words God has for us about that through His scriptures. So first of all, did the apostles, I ask you, in their days have to stand up courageously against a hostile world to proclaim Jesus and stand on His truth in the face of great opposition? What do you think? We looked at Peter at Pentecost a few weeks ago, and he said things like this. By the Spirit, he preached Acts 2, verse 23 to 24. He says, he preached to them, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified by the hand and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible for him to be held by it." And then, on that same sermon, he preached to them, "Repent, come to Christ, be baptized, and save yourselves from this crooked generation." Does that sound like courage to you? In the face of great opposition, what did he get from the world, especially the governing class of the world, for that good work of preaching? Well, we read in Acts chapter 4, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them into custody. In other words, they threw them into jail for preaching and standing for God's truth and proclaiming Christ. In other words, if you will, the apostles, if they lived in our day, or if they had a YouTube account in Jerusalem 33, that account would have been deleted overnight. That's cancel culture, Jerusalem 33 AD. Because the authorities then threatened them and violently spoke against them, saying, "We charge you to speak no more at all or teach to anyone anymore in the name of Jesus." They wanted to get rid of the name of Jesus. That's the reward they got from the world for their preaching of salvation in Christ. Threats, violence, anger, vitriol, and worldly power raged against them. But we remember that the apostles, what did they do? They stood strong and tall and proclaim Christ even to their dying breath and seal their testimony with their own blood in the face of great opposition. So that's the apostles. How about our Christian forefathers throughout time? Did they do the same? What do you think? Old Testament days, we go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Was theirs an easy time? They had an order from the king coming down from the top saying, "Whenever anybody hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, or any kind of music, everyone is to fall down and worship the golden image that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have set up." How would that be to live in those days? And he added, "Whoever does not fall down and worship my image will be immediately cast into the burning, fiery furnace." Did they face great opposition from the world? Threats? Great danger? Did they buckle? Did they cower? Did they turn and shrink away? They stood tall against the king. And he says, our God is able to deliver us out of your hand. And for their proclamation of Christ into the fiery furnace, they were thrown. But in the fire, The angel of the Lord appeared and saved them out of the fire, safe and sound. So that's the ancient times. That's the apostles. How about the Christians ever since then? Do you know that our Christian forefathers have always faced opposition from the world? Like at 303 AD, the great first persecution under the Emperor Diocletian, who commanded all the world at that time, acknowledge me as Lord, sacrifice to my gods, or be killed. Wow, what a time. But our Christian forefathers in those days also stood up in this great war and proclaimed Christ, even so, even to their dying breath if necessary. And has this been the same throughout the centuries? I mean, we could talk about Luther, how he's declared an outlaw, but said, here I stand, I can do no other. We have William Tyndale of England, John Wycliffe, Thomas Cranmer, and likewise the rest of those who risked their necks. Think about that. Risk their necks in great danger to proclaim Christ defiantly and gloriously before all the world in the face of great opposition. So it wasn't easy for our Christian ancestors. But let me ask, how about us? What about our time? Are our days unique? Well, I'd say actually, yeah. Wouldn't you say? For our time, they've been a little easy. We've been accustomed in America to having a friendlier face of government. Founded on Judeo-Christian principles, our country has actually promoted even our preaching of Christ to the world, even giving us tax-exempt status, can you believe it? Because they believed in the goodness of the church and what we were doing. So our forefathers and we have experienced. But, you know, that being said, would you say times are a-changing? Just a little? Getting a bit hostile again? Are we entering into a phase more like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Jesus, the apostles, Luther, and the reformers? Well, is the world attacking Christianity and traditional values? What do you say? Amen? Well, it seems more hostile, to be sure. You know, even in our lifetimes, at least a lot of you, you've seen the Bible kicked out of schools. You've seen prayer exiled from the classrooms. You've seen the Ten Commandments, which used to hang on the wall of our courtrooms, tossed out. And the anti-Christian, anti-Christ spirit has been rising, I'm sure you've seen, in the media and in Hollywood, especially of late. You know, our government has even attacked freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, as you know, and freedom of religion. You know, just a couple years ago in the crisis, they arrested pastors for holding Easter services and sought to close down churches. What's going on here? This spirit at work in the world today has only seemed to be growing the bolder as we go forward, wouldn't you say? So now we come to this month. What month are we in? According to the world, our government has titled this world Pride Month. You've heard of that, I'm sure. What is that? That's a month to celebrate, as they say, so if I can say it's a mouthful, LGBTQIA+ lifestyles. So what is that short for? It's short for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, and plus lifestyles. What's plus mean? Well, plus just means there are thousands of more sexual views, so they say. So instead of adding gazillions of more letters, they just say plus to kind of say, well, that'll just cover everything else because it'd go on for too much. And then they're also, as you know, been promoting something called the trans agenda. Have you heard of that? The trans agenda? If you haven't heard of it, I don't know where you've been. But it's being pushed in our days, don't you think, like an army on the march seeking to conquer. What is the trans agenda? Trans is simply a prefix. It means across. And then you're probably old enough, some of you, to know trans, probably all of you, except a few there. Trans World Airlines, remember that one? You ever fly in TWA? Trans World, across the world. It means you go to other countries. In this case, though, the trans agenda is transsexual, namely crossing genders. So you have, on the one hand, transvestites, people who dress, men who dress as women, for example, as drag queens. You have transgender means you're born one gender, but you want to switch to another one. transsexuals are people who change from one gender to another through, you know, hormone blocker therapy or surgeries and such things to become the other sex. And so in recent years, we actually 2015 and before, we had, remember Bruce Jenner, the Olympian, a man, and he went through surgery to become a woman. And he was actually, according to Glamour magazine, crowned Woman of the Year in 2015. So we have Bruce, Woman of the Year. Now he goes by Caitlin. And if that wasn't a shocker enough, just to give you the picture of our world today, we have had testimonies in Congress by people in authority in this movement testifying unabashedly that men can get pregnant. Of course, without citing a single example. I don't think they ever could. Men have entered into women's sports in our days. That's part of the trans agenda. And have destroyed the women and the sports. How are you as a woman going to compete against a man in running, swimming, or lifting weights? Maybe there's one or two that could, but generally no. And we've seen, of course, Bud Light. You've heard of Bud Light. I keep seeing every time I go to the supermarket, there still nobody's buying those on the stores anywhere. That fiasco of a transgender man, woman put onto their ad for the beer, Dylan Mulvaney. Then just even after that, you have Target, who came out targeting our children. God forbid, but they did it. And making transgender clothing for adults, children, and babies. I won't even get into the details. It wouldn't be appropriate from the pulpit. The U.S. Navy, did you know this? I love the Navy. Wanted to join it at one point. But they are recruiting right now. Well, they're down 16%. They're missing 6,000 sailors for the next recruiting year. So they came out with a recruitment ad campaign with Harpy Daniels, who is a drag queen, who is a drag queen, who appears in full outrageous drag queen apparel to try to entice young men to be fighters for our country. I see that and I think, are they crazy? Are they incompetent? Or are they purposefully trying to destroy our military? What's going to try to draw men in like that? And then one more here, well, a couple more. Disney is making, if you haven't seen it, cartoons about homosexual dinosaurs. Certain places in the United States are teaching or want to have that you can, as a teacher, teach children about sex without the parents' consent, and here's the real kicker, have them undergo sex change hormone blocking drugs or surgery apart from their parents' knowledge and consent, such as in states like Maine and New Hampshire pushing for that. So here's my next question. Would you say that there is an increasing persecution for those who will go against all this? Do they make war against those who oppose their agenda? Well, I saw an article just this week that one of you sent me where it showed a young man who was being forbidden from walking down the aisle for his high school graduation because he said, and I quote, he said, "Guys are guys and girls are girls and there's nothing in between. You're not allowed to walk down the aisle in this school," say the teachers and principal. And a girl in Vermont was kicked out of school recently, and her dad fired from his job as coach because she was in a girls' locker room, and there was a boy who claimed to be a girl standing in front of her, and she was uncomfortable undressing in front of the boy who claims to be a girl. The school authorities kicked her out, fired her dad as coach until she complied with this. "You must apologize for feeling uncomfortable." Now you're regulating feelings and outlawing discomfort for a girl and dressing in front of a boy. Last one here. We have the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Rules. Did you know I was trying to ban the words of like male and female, men and women from the House of Representatives of the United States? According to Clause 8C3 of Rule 23, they say strike these following words: father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, first cousin, nephew, niece, husband, wife, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, ad nauseum, and grandchild. Can't say these anymore. So I was thinking about this. I thought, I guess the only person who could use his natural name in the House of Representatives would be Cousin It from the Munsters. He's okay. But isn't the world, friends, becoming like the Munsters? Ugh. And they attack those who go against them, and they wage war against those who oppose their agenda, Christianity, and even traditional values, hostile to Christ, his word, and the truth. So here's my question then for today. Let's get back to it. Is how are we to handle all this? What are we going to do about it? And what should be our attitude? What's God say to us today in this climate for our help? You think he says to freak out and shrink back and cower in fear? Or are we to stand tall and strong and continue to proclaim Christ and even the bolder and his word? Well, let's take a look at a few things God says to us in the scriptures. The first thing he tells us in these days, he says, my people, number one, don't be surprised and don't be shocked at all this. Don't let any of this unsettle you, because there's really nothing new here. Where do I get that from the scriptures? Well, look at Ecclesiastes. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which you can say this is new? It's been already in the ages before us, but there's just no remembrance of those former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the former later things yet to happen among those who come after. Do you think that the days in which we're passing right now, these are new things in the world that Christians have never dealt with before? Well, let's go back through the pages of history to Lot in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He faced governmental threats and bullying from the surrounding culture and sexual depravity. Amen? I mean, this is not new. Peter says Lot was vexed in his righteous soul day after day for the lawless deeds. But he continued to stand strong and preach Christ and hold fast faith in him to the end. So God says there's nothing new. You're just experiencing, you're late to the party in a sense. This is what the saints have always had to deal with through time. This is just your time. As the saints of old did, so you stand strong. This is what you Christians, this is what we Christians do. And I think he says to you, the Old Testament saints handled this. You can too. And isn't that comforting? Amen? So first of all, don't be surprised, shocked, or unsettled. Secondly, God says, don't be afraid of them, your adversaries in these days. For as I was with the saints of old, I also am with you in these days. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Where is this in the Word? Well, you know, in the ancient times, I have seen a man surrounded by enemy armies that were in great numbers and power seeking to destroy a man. His name is Joshua, or you could say Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, and the rest. But listen to the word God gave Joshua. Be strong, Joshua. Be of good courage. Don't be frightened, neither be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Be strong, therefore, and of good courage. Is that a word for you and me today? And for all the church? God so spoke to Joshua, so to the saints of all times, so to you and me. Are you afraid? Why should you be? King Hezekiah said to his troop before going to war, he says, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that's with him. For there is one with us greater than those with him. With them is an army of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. So God says, don't forget who is with you. It is the living God. Who do they have really in all these agendas that are raging in the world today on their side. It's but an arm of flesh and a couple of billionaires with a lot of money. On your side is the living God, for whom nothing's impossible. Don't be afraid, God says. I am with you. In your time, you'll stand as the saints of old have stood. Don't be afraid, for the righteous shall never be moved. He is not afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. Don't be afraid, and he won't be until he sees his desire on his adversaries. So God says, don't be afraid. Thirdly, he says to us in the scriptures, I want you to be hopeful. We say to the Lord, hopeful though in these days when it looks like the monsters? Well, God says, yes, even with all that's going on. Why can we be hopeful, would you say? Our God is the God of hope. And wherever God is, there hope is, because he's with us. We have this word over on the side of our sanctuary. 2 Chronicles 7 says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain and command the locusts to devour the land and or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by name, my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Is that a promise even enduring in our days? Humble yourselves, pray. Then God may yet turn and leave a blessing behind him. There may yet be better days in and for our country and our world. Now, towards the end of time, Scripture says things will get worse, and that's okay, because greater days will come at the end of that, Christ's return. But even if our days are dark, they could get better. And indeed, I see through the prayers that you're already offering and the Christians around the world, they are getting better. Bud Light, I mentioned them a few minutes ago. Bud Light, with their pushing of their trans agenda, what's the result? The entire world, Christians, non-Christians alike, are rising up against them. And frankly, that company is doomed, wouldn't you say? That brand, they've lost $27 billion so far. They have no hope of coming back. This is not a boycott. This is an abandonment, so they say. How about Target? Targeting children? What's their future? Well, in 2 weeks' time, they lost $13.8 billion, and they're going down. This isn't a boycott. This is a divorce. Who wants to shop there anymore if they're going to attack your family? And I see people rising up everywhere across the world, especially young people. But think about in Italy. The prime minister there, who believes in traditional values, I'm sure you've heard of this, she said this, and she declared, shall not be Pride Month in our country, Italy, but it shall be Pride in Family Month. And she promotes husband, wife, father, mother, and children, the family, and God. This is rising all around the world. Don't you feel it? Can't you see the ascendancy of the rights, those on the side of family and God? And the young people, your generation, Brendan and Gianna and the rest, I mean, the people I see on the internet that are waging the good warfare are especially 20-somethings with the zeal and idealism of youth. You know, it may get better for a time, who knows? But even if not, if things still turn dark and the tide does not turn, God says, still be hopeful. You know why? He says, because I'm with you. Wherever I am is hope. And a Christian, even if our lives did get worse and got darker in a sense outwardly, every day is the better for the Christian. Why? Because every day walking with God, we know him the better. And any day that you know better God tomorrow is a better day than today. So it's going to get better walking with the Lord because we'll know him the more. And God says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He'll keep your life. He'll keep your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Be hopeful, my people, in me. And then one more. He says to you today, in this present climate, I, the Lord, want you to be courageous and to speak up for Christ and his gospel of salvation to the world. to friends, neighbors, and everybody, even in the face of great opposition. For this is the message that the world really needs to hear. Consider this. Check this out. They have a pride agenda, which they're perverting sexual lifestyles opposed to the truth of Scripture. But we are preaching a better pride month. Amen? Pride in the Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. What are we boasting in? That we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus has loved the world. He's a Savior who will erase and wash every sin away and set you up in his kingdom as his own people, freely for grace. That's the gospel. And when they preach confusion of a thousand genders plus, we preach clarity. There's two. Jesus says, from the beginning, God made them male and female. They preach abortion and death. We preach life and prosperity. They preach against the traditional family. We for the traditional family. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. They for a depopulation. We for a increase of population. And especially, how about the trans agenda? Do we have a trans agenda as a Christian, do you think? They're promoting their agenda. We have a trans agenda. Listen to this one. First of all, transfer. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And then we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Picked up from one place, transferred into Christ. Praise be the living God. Also, we've been transported because Jesus says, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into death, but is passed out of death into life. Transported from death into life. That's our agenda, which we preach joyfully to the world. And then to be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind into the image of Christ as we behold his glory from one degree of glory to another. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We're being transformed. We're into change. We want to change from being a dead person into a live saint and a son of God. So we're for the trans in that sense. And we know that this life now is transitory and transitional. We're just passing through this world. Don't get all hung up in its complexities and troubles. We're out of here soon. We're going to the good place. We'll be translocated, says the Bible. At the day of our death and departure, we're going to go up to God's throne above to see him. That's the greatest transformation. For we are God's children now in this life, but it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when Jesus appears, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What a glorious transfiguration it will be on that day to be raised glorious as sons of God. And this is the message we're going to preach to the world, yes, even in the face of hostile adversaries and great opposition, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Come one and come all, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn you, but that the world might be saved through him, and he who believes in him is not condemned. That's the good message, and our mission has not changed. In the face of great opposition, we stand as the saints of old, gloriously, defiantly, and joyfully to proclaim Christ, yes, in these days. So in conclusion, what kind of people should we be in these days, seemingly so dark and hostile to Christians and to all? God says, do not be surprised, but calm and clear. Don't be frightened, but courageous. Don't be sad, but joyfully excited and hopeful. For soon you're going to come to the prize, the end, the glory, and the kingdom. And as you preach Christ standing tall for him to the very end of time, you shall show yourselves glorious through my strength, which is in you, to the salvation of many. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.